is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. Go out the 242. The count depends on you. So tell Ted to go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone. I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. Go out the 242. Tell Ted to go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
This morning. Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk, all day. My name is Erin Green and you are On The Clock. On The Clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On The Clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And I want to tell you now about the Prospect Ridge development. The government of the Bahamas will provide affordable lots with infrastructure installed for Bahamian young professionals. The new upscale community will be built on prime crown land, the first of which is the Prospect Ridge Community for Young Professionals. It will be available for young Bahamians who qualify to purchase, build, own, and maintain a home. The initiative is part of the government's land reform priority, fostering social and economic empowerment through land ownership, while strengthening the country's middle classes, and will include 250 lots, both residential and duplex and townhouse lots, utility infrastructure, approved home design, and an eco-friendly environment. Apply today at mygateway.gov.bs. This message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. Well, good morning. I have a lot of people to say good morning to. First of all, I want to say good morning to Chelsea Smith from the Windsor School of Albany, who I met just now. She is the primary school student of the year. I want to say big up, big up, big up from people who are deeply rooted in a culture of appreciation for education, right? Like sometimes young people look around and say, what's so cool about education? Well, that's because you don't see people getting excited about it the same way they get excited about music videos, cars, or movies. But it's up to us to rebuild and reinvigorate this culture of appreciation for education that many of us grew up in and refuse to acknowledge that that is the privilege that set us apart from others, right? That is the benefit that we had in our lives, or the advantage that many others didn't. We were raised rooted in communities that had a culture of appreciation for education. And so I said to Ms. Smith today that, look here, this is a two-part process. It's up to her as the individual student to value the power of education and to value and understand a culture that appreciates it. But it's up to us, the rest of the Bahamians, to create the environment, right, in which young people can understand and realize the value of education. It's also our job to make education exciting. And no, we're not making it sexy. See, because that's some capitalist foolishness. And why would you talk about that with little children? But I hear some of y'all saying it. That's, let us make it cool and important. Let us show its value by investing in it, right? Let us show children. They don't pay them lip service. Tell them to read a book and then go get a book to read with them. You want them to read? Buy them a subscription to books, to Audible, to Kindle, to, I'm sure, I'm going to ask my brother Ankusara to link me and Alexis Morley at Black Food Shop to link me with some online African-centered reading sources, right? Or online libraries for young people. That's how you do it. When I was in school, my dad, I mean, we had subscription to magazine, we had subscription to books. There were always books coming in the house. To right now, the one thing I want to inherit from my mother is her library, which has got to have at least 1,000+ books in it. That's how we're going to do it, folks. That's how we're going to do it. Now, remember I told you all I got a bunch of people I got to say good morning to. Well, first of all, good morning to my guest co-host this morning, Mr. Cecil Newry. How are you?
It's always good to be invited and to talk with you, man. So,
yeah, absolutely.
I'm good.
I see you come from the great community of Fox Hill.
Fox Hill is good. We are blooming and blossoming. The street vendors are out in a rage. There's mangolas, there's gnaps, there's soursop. Anything you can think of is on the streets of Fox Hill. So drive past and support one or two of the vendors.
I was about to say, how you ain't bring nothing to his.
You come.
I have to come.
Yes.
Because I bring something for you from Fox Hill to see.
That's huge.
Yeah, I hope the camera could see it. If you're tuned in to the Guardian Radio app, you can see the biggest mango in the world I ever saw. This is what KB Song was supposed to say before he hooked up with them people who was waking at the airport. Right? So you ain't bring no mango.
Mm-hmm.
That's your business.
That's a big mango.
Yeah. And I didn't teeth it either.
What do you call it, a mangola?
Well, it has a specific, I think it has a variety name, but I'm unaware of it.
Okay.
But the most important thing is I didn't teeth it.
Good. I'm glad you didn't teeth it.
What I did was I waited until I saw my neighbor. Well, technically, I was leaving home this morning, and I saw my neighbor go into the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And I waited then to try, tease them and coerce them into giving me one big mango.
You just got one?
Yeah. Well, that's how you just do it when you're trying to beg for mango. You can't beg for two.
No. Okay.
And this one heavy as my hand. I could only hold one in my hand.
Okay.
And my neighbor was lovely enough to give me a mango. And as she was picking up the mango off the ground to check them, a mango dropped out the tree for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So on to agricultural theft.
So you got two?
I was a polite beggar.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You could only beg for one.
You different from me.
I mean, I don't know. You're a special guy.
Yeah, I have to ask for two.
But, say?
I have to ask for two. I got to give one to the wife separately.
Well, see, that's another thing. You got family.
Yes.
And you have a wife. Mm-hmm. So you always have to think about.
I always.
How you going to share this thing. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you.
Good.
And in fact, when I give fruit and mango to people, if they got a significant other, they have to get two.
Good.
That's how you support a community,
mm-hmm.
right? Anyway, agricultural theft.
Mm-hmm.
I need y'all to stop thiefing things, man. A farmer dear to me, somebody I've known for at least 10 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Had most of his crop that was he was preparing to harvest for this weekend's market stolen.
What do you mean stolen?
Like thief. Like come in and thief it. Like thief it and take it.
At night?
Could have been in the daytime. In fact, a few months ago, one of the larger vendors at the market had to leave the market to go back to the farm because the people figure out she is go to the market, so that's a good time to thief.
You know her schedule.
Yeah. Right? And what I don't understand is why the police don't know the thief schedule by now. Because the thief know everybody else's schedule, right? At this point, we have to shift our attention to enforcement or the lack thereof of laws. And agriculture isn't the only space, right? This is also a big problem for traffic. And so for a long time, I used my energy on changing the things that we do control, which is ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. And encouraging behaviors to shift their behavior. But we also need enforcement of the rules by the people responsible for enforcing the rules.
What do you mean?
Well, what I mean is, if you know that there's been a surge in agricultural theft, then maybe you schedule more officers on routes in districts where there are more farms and commercial farms. You have a complement of drones. You use the drones and use this issue to create a pilot program for your drones. So you use your drones to monitor agricultural land, the routes, the traffic routes in and out of those areas, right? So that you can have a greater chance of catching the thieves because you have more police officers present in those areas. Mm. And this farm I'm talking about is a senior citizen who is partially supporting himself through this venture. Mm. And I don't understand it.
So we're saying that the thieves would come with a truck and load all the farm stuff.
Yeah. So we are not, in these instances, we're not talking about petty theft, right? Mm-hmm. We're not talking about the person that may come in my tree and try to take 30 or 40 mango. Mm-hmm. We're talking about people coming with trucks and stealing half a field of, or half a crop of plantain, mm. or a whole crop of banana.
All to produce one time.
Right? We're talking about people coming in and taking multiple animals off a property, right? It's not something like you just slip by and throw your hand out the car and pick up three mangoes and speed off. Mm-hmm. These things take time to achieve. And so at this point, I think it requires a focus on enforcement or the lack thereof. Because on one hand, we have a government who's spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, I think the latest figure was $5 million, mm-hmm. to inject into agricultural pursuits and to support farms both in the Family Islands and in New Providence, right? But that money is going to go to waste if every single investment is destroyed by theft, petty theft, and you call grand larceny. That's mm-hmm. go to jail theft. But I want to ask you, in Fox Hill, which is blooming and blossoming with produce,
yes.
and a place where community members rely on the things that they grow in their yard to supplement their incomes, mm-hmm. how do you all deal with that? Oh, first, you have a lot of theft of that nature, big or small, and how do you deal with it?
And I don't know. You don't know, but we have a community in Fox Hill. You don't come in people's yard and take their produce,
yeah.
you know, and you have good neighbors who report. What is happening. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have crime in any community, but in terms of trees and our produce, what we're producing, no, we don't have that problem. What's everyone? You right. stop and get mangola from Misera, and you go and raster down the road, mm-hmm. and you get the watermelon from Miseda, you know. So it's so what you're talking about sounds foreign to us. That people will actually come inside some of your yard and thief the mangoes, you know?
In fact,
now coconut is a different thing. We have issues of people coming out of our yard and thiefing our coconut. We're complaining about the coconut thieves passing by with a truck and yeah. just climbing the trees and taking the coconut. Now, we do have issues that's nationally now, but because of this coconut boom, we haven't.
Yeah, boy, when you use the word national, right? A lot of people to engage that issue because they feel like the government is responsible for the surge in coconut thefts. Not the initial practice, but the surge in coconut thefts by suggesting the creation of an industry without ensuring the creation of the infrastructure to make sure that that industry runs smoothly and the people participating in that industry can remain within the bounds of the law, right? Mm-hmm. So they're saying, you tell the boy them it's okay to sell coconut water, but you made no provisions for inspection of coconuts to determine whether they have been purchased or donated or stolen, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have any provisions. Well, I don't know if you have, it doesn't look like you have provision for inspection of sites, right? Where people, but you could also do things like public-private partnership with Bahama Waste, to sponsor or ensure that there are water stations mm-hmm. near where people sell coconut water, or if they could get a discounted price on the rental of a water station mm-hmm. so that they could ensure that they could wash their hands and maintain a sanitary environment, right? Mm-hmm. Talking about building or creating industry.
An industry.
There's multiple steps and parts of the process. Don't focus on all of them properly, then even though we think we're doing a good thing, right? And I know some coconut boy them out there cussing me right now. She's trying to shut us down. No, I'm trying to ensure that you can operate in the, have the resources you need to achieve what it is you trying to do without becoming the law. And mm-hmm. I would say it like that's a weird way to say it, right? Mm-hmm. And a terror to the community. Because mm-hmm. ultimately, while you trying to survive, you terrorizing mm-hmm. the people around you. Mm-hmm. You may not see financial and personal crisis, but that's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but I still got more.
Yeah.
I didn't say happy 4th of July on the 2nd of July. That's my bad. So I was 4th of July to our cousins to the north. Cecil, you have any cousins to the north?
In the United States? All kind of cousins.
Great.
So in any country you can call, I'm sure I have one or two cousins sitting there.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I missed it out before the weekend, and that was my bad. Because I have family. I got nieces and nephews and brothers and sisters.
And you didn't wish them happy 4th?
That are American.
You didn't wish them happy 4th of July?
No, I didn't.
And you know what it is? Usually, our government have a flag day or colors day that on Bay Street, mm-hmm. which would normally fall coincidentally on the 4th of July. And it would signify our movement into July 10th.
Right.
Right? And this Saturday, gone by, there was no flag day or T-shirt day. T-shirt day for the Bahamas, which would coincide with July 4th. So we now start forgetting how to celebrate us.
Yes.
Because all of the regular checks and balances is now being eroded due to COVID.
Boy, look here. And if we don't get this thing sorted out, like an appropriate response to this in the next year and a half, we're going to have children who have never, you know, who have sort of left those early formative years without a junk canoe experience.
Yes, yes.
Without a holiday weekend cookout experience. Mm-hmm. Without a holiday independence 5-hour church service experience. Because I know some of y'all is make y'all children go through that 5 hours of church for independence. It don't make no sense. Like, if we don't ensure that we can maintain our rituals, maintain our observances and commemorations and acknowledgments and commemorations of holidays, right? Then we're at risk of losing terribly the culture that we have.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I could see that we have evidence of this
mm-hmm.
popping up right in front of us.
Mm.
And we'll talk about the independence celebrations in a moment. But before we get to that, let me make a quick mention of something that's happened over the weekend. Because it ain't just our cousins to the north we got to say good morning to. We got to say good morning to our cousins to the south, mm-hmm. right? And throughout the Caribbean that would have experienced Hurricane Elsa or Tropical Storm Elsa
yes.
at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And we do know that Barbados, St. Lucia, the Dominican
yes.
Republic, St. Vincent, and even Jamaica
mm-hmm.
Have been battered in some way, have been affected in some way by Hurricane Elsa. And it turns out that Hurricane Elsa is the first hurricane to hit Barbados
in some years
since Hurricane Janet
mm-hmm.
in 1955.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the last major storm would have been Tropical Storm Thomas
mm-hmm.
in 2010. But
mm-hmm.
the last major hurricane was 1955. So I know that this must have been a traumatic event.
Yeah. And for me, I've seen some pictures from my cousins. I have cousins in Barbados also. They weren't emotionally prepared for such.
Right, and psychologically
yes.
prepared.
And even some of the buildings, we have that building code. And it shows and tells a tale about how experiencing hurricanes annually or every so often allows you to equip yourself to
right.
bear with certain things. And I think Barbados was caught off guard and they would now start preparing for such in the future.
Yeah. You know, it's sort of in a similar way that I talked about a culture of appreciation for education, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to rebuild a culture of appreciation for hurricanes. Because if you look at any of before 2019 and the horrible, tragic Hurricane Dorian, right? Mm-hmm. Hurricane season open, I don't get the impression that people are terribly worried about it. Mm-hmm. I don't get the impression that it's a big deal on the government agenda, mm-hmm. ever. And I don't get I could come here as a tourist and not even realize that I'm in a hurricane zone, mm-hmm. right? Like I'm in a storm zone. Mm-hmm. There's nothing really about it. And another thing that tells, right? There was an interesting, I say lovely because it's fascinating, article about dark tourism and disaster tourism, another potential branch to explore in our tourism venture. And I thought to myself, we is the hurricane zone, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't have any storm-related tourism, mm-hmm. right? We don't have any disaster restoration tourism. We don't have any crazy people come and be in the country during the storm tourism, right? We don't have any museums specifically documenting the impact of hurricanes and storms in our country, right? Like, it's almost as if we close our eyes and pretend like the storms ain't coming. It's almost as if we feel like if we squeeze our eyes tight enough, then we could forget that hurricanes are a thing. Right? And that don't make any sense. That's a trauma response.
I liken it to having a baby. You get pregnant and you say, my God, that's the worst experience in my life. Right? But next year you get pregnant again because you forget the pain. The labor pain is something forgettable. And right. But similar to hurricanes, I guess, as time passes, you forget. You say, you know, it was bad. But what specifically made it bad, I don't remember.
Now, you know, they say that that is a magical universal design. I mean, a lot of Bahamians will say it's God's design, right? Mm-hmm. It's unique and perfect design. Some people will say it is a perfect universal design, but that the woman's body is designed to forget the pain because mm-hmm. if she remembered, she may not do it again.
Okay.
Right? And so I wonder if it's the same thing, like the universe sort of blesses us mm-hmm. with this amnesia. Right? So that we could live, so that we could survive. Because if we think about it every moment, we wouldn't, right? We wouldn't be able to rest.
Similar to our election, that 5 years passed, it caused us to forget the pain of what happened before.
Serious amnesia?
Yes, yes. You say, I remember I was treated badly, but exactly what was it? You know, then you do the whole thing again. You just
mark
your X.
Look here, this is how we designed
by
for
design,
this.
By design.
Well, I tell you what, I think that's saving a lot of people. I think it's saving a lot of people. Because if we were to wear the weight, like if we had to sit down and examine all of the trauma that we've experienced due to the failings of the political culture and the political class, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. We would not be able to sleep. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, maybe that type of amnesia is a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I got a couple of texts here. Let's just read these texts and then go to a break. And let's get to some more of what's in the news. I hear election is coming. I mean, I hear people telling you to vote, but I don't hear nothing about an actual election. So when we get back from the break, we're going to delve into that. But let me get to these texts. Good morning. I see a lot of propaganda being spread about the independence celebration, and some PLPs are in the midst. Can't be that desperate for power. Well, there are texts that we're going to talk about that when we get back from the break. Another text, and I'll start at the beginning. Great show as usual. Thank you very much. I hope no hurricane shows its face in Nassau because plywood is $80 a sheet. People start soon teething plywood. I agree with you. We in the Bahamas, hurricanes don't exist. HIV doesn't exist. COVID doesn't exist. We don't take nothing serious in the Bahamas. Nassau is not a real place, and child support most definitely don't exist. Buddy, even at a community level and at a state level, it doesn't exist. Another text, good morning. Y'all ain't been through Dorian. You're absolutely right. We haven't been through Dorian. And so when I talk about it, I want you to know that I talk about it respectfully, right? That we have not taken enough care with the people who have been through Dorian, who have survived and who did not survive. See, that's the thing about amnesia. We feel like once you're dead, we could forget about you. It don't work like that. So I want to apologize to you, text, if you feel like in some way I was diminishing the experiences of the people that did live through Dorian. Another text. Good morning. If these coconut vendors realize that there is money to be earned from this business, why are they not asking the government for land to start a coconut grove farm? Start planting thousands of coconut trees now. If they do, they won't have to steal people's coconuts. Start thinking, you vendors. Look here, we don't even have to start a farm. Like, we don't need to focus on that. Do a coconut tree inventory in your country and clean them, because the coconuts are just going to waste otherwise. I hear that music. I'm going to get back to these texts on the other side of the break, Kermit. You're tuned into 96.9 FM, and we will be right back with On the Clock.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
As a people, Bahamians are anxious about the future. Feeling down and out, unsure in these unprecedented times? We need to believe that love's coming back. Join us Tuesday, July 13th at 11 a.m. at orcd.co/lovescomingback for the virtual launch of Love's Coming Back, an inspiring new anthem from Grammy Award-winning founding member of the Eurythmics, songwriter, producer Dave Stewart, which will premiere globally at 12 noon. Presented by Bay Street Records, Bahamas National Trust, and BrylandAid.org.
It takes a village to raise a child, and it takes each and every one of us to grow the Bahamas. On the Clock, we dive into the stories, we identify the issues, and we engage the people, organizations, and institutions that keep the country running. On the Clock with Erin Green, weekdays 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. It is Monday, the 5th of July, and you are On the Clock with Erin Green and my guest co-host today, Mr. Cecil Newry, as we head into independence. And there's plenty to talk about. Cecil, let me get to these texts, because it's sort of what the text is texting about is what I got to talk about. Good morning. Let me reread this. Good morning. I see lots of propaganda being spread about the independence celebration, and some PLPs are in the midst. Can't be that desperate for power. When the PLP had John Canoe Carnival and paid all those foreigners more than Bahamians, same PLPs were quiet. They are hypocritical. Boy, Texter, that's a good one to get into, right? Because, first of all, let me say, that's an interesting, analology or an interesting position that you gave me just now, comparing the independence celebrations to the carnival event, right? And then before that, suggesting that this is really just a PLP, right? It's just some political opposition to a government decision. So let's start with the political opposition part, right? First of all, the PLP aren't the only people in opposition, you know.
No.
Just in case y'all didn't know that. The PLP aren't the only people in opposition. There are a number of citizens who do not align with any political party that disagree with this particular decision or policy specifically, and disagree with government decisions and policy generally. This is a problem we have We like to turn every critique into partisan rhetoric and foolishness. Not everybody that is critiquing the PLP is an FNM or is critiquing you from a partisan position. And in particular with this issue, it's plenty critique they have coming, right? First of all, what you mean you having a gospel concert? Like, that's it.
You don't like gospel?
It's not a matter of what I like.
So you straight.
It's a matter of what is appropriate in a multicultural, non-theocratic country called the Bahamas. Right? Mm-hmm. We're not a Christian nation.
No.
No. Our constitution does not define us as a Christian nation. Our preamble does not define us as a Christian nation. The quote-unquote founders of the Constitution do not define us and did not define us as a Christian nation. So it is offensive, and I wish I had enough money to launch a lawsuit, to sue the government for continuing on this pattern. See, it's not just a one-time thing. Is somebody going to say, oh, well, the director responsible for creating the event, they're new and they didn't really think about it. It's not a one-time thing. Mm. We continue to insult and offend non-Christian citizens living in this country.
In minority, though.
And so what?
The majority of us like to praise and worship.
And so what? In
Let
fact,
us have our religious just parties.
Okay, you're not having a religious party. That's the next thing. Why pass it off as a religious event when it's not really a religious event? It's a Christian event, right? Let's start there.
Okay.
Because what you'd find is that a lot of religious people, they're on the same vibe. Or let me say, a lot of other religious people, they're on the same vibe with the Christian community.
Mm.
The only difference is what they call their God.
Mm.
And some of what their scriptures say. That's it, right? So you call it religious, but it's really just Christian.
Just Christian.
And so, okay, to your former point, a number of us are Christian.
Yes.
And we like praise and worship.
Yes.
But here's the question. Did anybody ask us what we wanted?
Should I ask us to celebrate? I mean,
no, you should ask us what we want.
What type of celebration we want?
For our independence, since it's our celebration, and it's our money, and it's our country, and it's our vision that drives the country, and it's our legacies, the children, the future that we create that are going to be responsible for the decisions you make. Our grandchildren could be paying the bill. Because we already $7 trillion in debt.
Mm-hmm.
Our grandchildren could be paying the bill for the celebration. But did anybody ask the young people what they wanted?
So you say moving forward, we need to have a consensus?
We need to think about inclusion more. Because the most important thing to do in your independence ceremony is to include the people in it. Mm. Right? So first of all, you're having a sort of gospel concert.
Yes.
To the exclusion of all other forms.
It's a celebratory concert. Praise and worship.
Praise and...
Look how far God has brought us from.
But that seems like a very personal or communal type.
The entire nation is grateful.
Is the entire nation grateful for where the Christian God has gotten us?
Yes.
I mean, is the Rastafarian nation part of the nation grateful? Is the Jewish part of the nation? Is the Hindi part of the nation? Is the Muslim, the community that follows Islam, are they proud to be celebrating how far the Christian God has gotten us? Is somebody going to get up on stage and say that?
You're trying to say we need to include them into our Independence Day celebration?
Well, first of all, if we're calling it a religious ceremony, then certainly we should have the participation of all the religious communities present, right? But furthermore, why are we having a religious? Why is it that's all it is?
But
why is that the center of it?
But surely being Christian defines us as Bahamian, as our social and psyche of who we are is Christian based. No? You stubborn.
Yeah, I am, because what I want to say is that something we should wear as a badge of honor?
Be proud of it, eh?
Is it something to be proud of?
But it's who we are.
Over the last 48 months, sorry, over the last 24 months, right? Have we as a Christian nation done anything that would warrant us beating other citizens over the head with that badge?
And that sounds more political and social and not necessarily Christian, though. I hear you, but I think you're just making it more political than that.
So what you're saying is that we should just continue to follow the Christian message and forgive and forget unless you're not Christian, because that message doesn't apply to you.
But we are a chosen people. And as a chosen people, we are guided and blessed to do a specific agenda.
Boy, look here. Listen, I want to know, chosen by whom? Is it the same person that Water and Sewage owe all that money to? For the water that the good universe has produced for us naturally every day? Is that who we were chosen by? And you know what? I can say to my audience here, I'm having a little back and forth with my guest co-host, trying to flesh out some ideas. I don't want you all to think that I'm being disrespectful, right? Mm. About faith, particularly my Christian audience. I don't want you all to think that I'm being dismissive. At the same time, I want you to ask yourself, do non-Christians in this town feel the same way you do right now about the conversations that we have? Do they feel like they are constantly dismissed? Do they feel like they are not a part of the collective public psyche or the collective consciousness? Do they feel that they are not a part of the political vision? Imagine your minister of health, in the midst of a global health pandemic, gets up and says you should take the vaccine because God thinks it's the right thing to do. The Christian God.
God told him.
No, he didn't go that far. Don't put that on him. I don't believe he said that.
No.
Yeah, listen, sir, your good friend was giving me an opportunity to have your back. Only this once, though. Only this once, because LOI do believe you still on the fired list. I got another text here. Are we really independent even? Well, that's a whole show that I have coming up. This boy don't know it yet, but there is a local political advocate who has been pushing the same question and has more questions and even some answers for us. And we're going to push that. Another text. We have no idea what we want. We don't know if we are Bahamians or Americans, so how could we know what we want for a celebration? We have identity crisis. Well, see, this is it, Texter. We get back to this little gospel concert, right? So what I've learned is that the performers are Bahamian, but the songs aren't Bahamian.
Interesting. And does that dictate the difference?
Well, I think it does.
So let's put it in a secular tense. If we have secular artists performing foreign-based songs, would that have been an affront to our Independence Day celebration?
Yes.
But because it's religious, we can have Bahamians performing foreign-based songs, but it's not an affront.
No, that's an affront to me too.
Still an affront, because it's foreign songs.
And that's it.
And we're celebrating what it is being Bahamian.
That's a part of the affront for me, that it is that they are foreign songs, right? The second part is the lack of inclusion in the process. That's the big, that for me, that's the biggest deal. How could you even think to plan an independent celebration without putting it in the hands of your cultural community, your visual and performing arts community? How could you even fathom creating an event like this without those people? But furthermore, we know we already 18 miles behind the starting line because we don't have a process to garner information from the general public about what this year's, in the next year's independence celebration should look like. So my biggest critique is the lack of inclusion, because I bet you if they had included the local arts community, they would have come up with a list of local gospel songs and local gospel singers, and they could have had partnerships with the secular singing world and the religious performance, the gospel performance community, right? to blend performances, to blend songs. Like, you see how Ronnie Butler Jr., mm-hmm. Ronnie Butler Sr. sing "By the Time I Get to Phoenix" by Glenn Miller and take over the whole song. Mm-hmm. Well, Ronnie Butler could sing that song mm-hmm. at My Independence, right? And a Glenn Miller, R.I.P., could come on stage and sing it with him, mm-hmm. but not without him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I see it.
It's about inclusion. It's almost as if you're telling us we don't even have to be involved in our own independence ceremony. Like, it feel bad.
Some sort of way.
Yes. It feels horrible. And I understand.
So what would you have expected this Independence Day celebration post-COVID? Not post-COVID. Post-lockdown COVID. Because, you know, last Independence, we were locked down.
Yeah.
This is the first freedom we've had. So what would you have expected?
Well, I would have expected a virtual concert.
Still.
Right?
Okay.
And since it appears that artists who want to perform in tourist spaces are being coerced into taking the vaccine mm-hmm. to be able to perform, right? Mm-hmm. If this is the case, then the state has already prepared an environment in which performers could be in one space with a reduced risk of transference of COVID, right? Of catching mm-hmm. COVID or spreading it. So why couldn't we have had a virtual concert with your secular music, with your local cultural hits? Why couldn't we have a virtual concert with gospel and secular music? Both of them. Why couldn't we have secular artists singing gospel music and gospel artists chiming in on regular music? Mm-hmm. Why we couldn't have gospel artists collaborating with the secular artists to write remixes, gospel remixes of some of our classic hits?
Some right? kind of blended thing.
Right. Wouldn't that have been beautiful to hear a gospel voice of Everybody Loves the Rake and Scrape?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, but here's what I do know, that it is the act of excluding these people that limit your capacity for imagination.
So what do you say to people who are saying that this is all political, that the artists who are complaining are just being anti-government and have no sense or no right to complain that they're not being included?
Okay, I say to those people, first of all, the last point you make is foolish. We all have an obligation to critique the government. That's our job. Second of all, I would say that the political culture has created an environment where any issue can easily be obfuscated. I mean, confuse, mash up, difficult to get into and understand by the political culture. In fact, it is a bonus to the political class that all they have to do is get somebody to say, oh, that's politics, and then you dispel. In fact, we see from who are supposed to be some of the brightest minds in the country, mm-hmm. the young people behind the new company, getting up and responding to ordinary Bahamians who are demanding critique of what's happening in our government, that is, they just being political, mm-hmm. and they just going to destroy something over politics. Mm-hmm. We have a right to know. It is you that is perpetuating the political culture and political rhetoric. Mm. By saying it's just political. If it is above board, it must not just be above board, it must be seen to be above board. You know? And so there is a problem there. We have an obligation, we're not just complaining, we have a duty to critique the state. And so what if it is political? If the government continues to operate in this manner, then yes, all of us are the opposition. You respond to every critique like it's not when all of us, because you are behaving in that manner, right? And so that's what you're going to get. What I do say, the critique I do appreciate and I think needs to be fleshed out is this. There are Bahamians performing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Definitely, there are Bahamians performing. All Bahamians are performing.
Right, I know a number of those names on the list. Not plenty, but I know a couple of them.
Yes.
And they are professional performers.
Yes.
Right? Some of them are what you call artistes.
Yes.
Right? And so it's not a matter of there are no Bahamians performing. It's really a matter of inclusion and the process that mm-hmm. got us here. Mm-hmm. And does it serve us? And if we use this as a model, we may see that in other spaces in governance, that this style of engagement, this policy of engagement, does not serve us. Mm. Inclusion has to be the order of the day. How are we going to keep young Bahamians home? How are we going to inspire them to develop and drive the country if we keep excluding them out of every process that is important in this country? Mm. I got you thinking, eh?
You have me thinking. I don't know what to say.
Well, look here. I tell you what you better say is you better say to these people, my children have the right to be who they want to be, and they have the right to do it in their own country. And I'm not going to support any cultures or systems that will marginalize them or worse, demand that they small up themselves for the comfort of others.
But the good thing about this is that the artists who are complaining are now meeting with government officials to be included. So perhaps we have a week before the 10th. So perhaps within the week, there'll be some tweaking and some allowances to allow some secular music to be played.
And I'm open to that. And tomorrow, we're going to have a number of the artists that are involved in the campaign for inclusion mm-hmm. on the show, right? We couldn't arrange it for today. And that's a good thing because I think some progress in this discussion may be made today. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to talk about, right? Not the where we're stuck, but the potential of where we can go. Mm-hmm. Look here, let me get to some text here, right? The text say, while I am a Christian, to be fair, I think that the independence lineup should have included local secular artists as well. Bahamian culture does also comprise of soca and rake and scrape and other aspects of life that may not necessarily be solely Christian-based. Regarding other religions outside of the Christian umbrella, to do an independent show inclusive of them may be more so offensive to a greater majority than a Christian-based one. You know, I feel you, mm-hmm. but this independence matter, or who belongs and who doesn't belong, mm-hmm. and what that means, that's the conversation we need to have. Mm-hmm. Question, what is Bahamian music? Because I don't think we have specified what is actual Bahamian.
But we had
music.
That debate previously, 20 years ago, moving from Junkanoo. I mean, we moved to Junkanoo, but we had Rake and Scrape, and we moved to Calypso, and we moved to Gombe. And Gombe is a string instrument. When you hear that thing,
that's what that is.
And we have that. Which bass is Calypso also. But when you hear that string music, guitar, and that bass.
That's when you know you listen to Gombe music.
You listen to Gombe music.
And a majority
of our songs have that string guitar and that bass guitar in it. And you say, oh, that sound Bahamian.
Yeah.
But you can identify and say that's different, even though it's inclusive of other persons' rhythmic sounds. You said that specifically is Bahamian there.
And you know, as soon as you said that, I heard dun 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 dun.
Yeah, dun 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 dun. Yeah.
All right, another text. Aaron, I can't imagine this has happened. What foreign artist, foreign song, local artist, foreign song, or foreign artist, local songs? Totally ridiculous. Listen, I just need the people in places of power to understand that poor people rely on y'all doing your jobs for their survival, right? And every instance where it becomes manifest that you're not focused or serious about doing your job, they tremble, they shudder, and the trust deficit increases that much more. Tech says, thanks for clearing that up. Thank you, Cecil. I got one more text from my regular and my favorite. I had missed you, dear sir. Morning, two straight FNM, maybe three. Well, I'm glad that you are having a good, good morning, sir, to say something like that to me. Anyway, Cecil, my whole week and next week, in fact, the month of July, going to be filled with shows and conversations about independence, about inclusivity, about the national vision, the collective consciousness and the public voice, who belongs and who doesn't belong, right? What is us and what isn't us? And one of the things I thought about while preparing for this show today is this. I think that politics and the church control the national vision and the political voice to the point of exclusion of everyone who does not belong to these cultures. So I was going to say cults, mm-hmm. but see, that may have been offensive. They control the collective consciousness and the public psyche. And I think to the point where in a democratic, non-theocratic state, we still have people who don't understand why a Christian gospel concert to the exclusion of all other religions present in the country is offensive. It is offensive to the Constitution, even. But we don't seem to understand how it could make others uncomfortable in our very own country. That's what I've been thinking about. I also been thinking about BPL. The union say 14 days. That was 7 days ago, right?
7 days ago. Seven more days.
You got 7 good days.
7 good days left.
Find your solar power, people. Find your battery packs. Charge them up. Mm-hmm. Don't get caught out in these people's political machinations and negotiations.
Don't forget to register to vote quickly.
Boy, look here, that's the next thing we're going to... Well, I don't even know if I can have a chance to touch on that tomorrow because we're talking a different type of politics tomorrow. But imagine you telling me to go vote quickly, but you won't tell me when the election date is.
It's a warning.
Boy, look here.
Do it quickly.
It's a warning like this sound. I got to get off this show, guys, but I need to say to the Prime Minister, this thing about inclusion, man, you won't even let us participate in the process of voting in our own country. Anyway, I hope you guys had a wonderful day. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Stay tuned tomorrow. We're going to talk more about independence and the National Independence Celebration, local artists, and the campaign for inclusion. Have a great day, Bahamas. And you know what? Yvonne Miller is up next.
FM, Nassau, Bahamas.